Hey, Catalyst family, Pastor Maurice here. Welcome to another weekend at Catalyst Church Online. Last weekend, we started a brand new teaching series called Summer at Catalyst. In this series, we simply want to seize the opportunity to focus on the many wonderful qualities and attributes of our God. In this season, it is so easy to become overwhelmed and consumed with everything we're facing as a nation. Day in and day out, we're inundated with constant reminders of how broken this world is. This is why I believe that we need to be simultaneously reminded of who our God is. We're learning that our view of God uniquely shapes how we live our lives. This view, whether accurate or inaccurate, determines how we handle our problems or how we view the present and how we view the future. Ultimately, it determines our level of commitment and dedication to the gospel work. So you can simply turn on the news and you can see devastation, terror, and chaos all over the news. We live in a world that seems to be devoid of love, peace, and harmony. A world on a spiritual and moral downward slope, lost in utter darkness and full of a people who detest and reject who and all that God is. See, there is no better time than now to ensure that we possess a strong biblical view of who our God is. We must understand that we serve an awe-inspiring God who is the one living and true God, perfect, unchanging, and glorious in all of his splendor. He reveals himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with distinct personal attributes, but without division of nature, essence, or being. Our God is infinite in holiness, all-powerful and all-knowing. He reigns and he rules with providential care over the universe and all his creation as a sovereign king. See, in the United States, we don't really have a grand concept of royalty, and we definitely do not envy the idea of submitting to someone else's rule. Socially, we are conditioned to strive for equality and independence. For the most part, we would like to simply have it our way. However, in God's kingdom, we were created to come under his lordship and authority, to walk in sweet communion with him, developing an intimate relationship and drawing closer to the master's heart. On December the 8th in 2014, following the Cavaliers' win over the Brooklyn Nets, NBA superstar LeBron James, aka King James, was granted audience with Prince William and Kate, who are now the Duke and the Duchess of Cambridge. You may or may not be aware, but there is a such thing as royal etiquette. For example, when royalty enters the room, you're supposed to stand up. You only speak when you're spoken to. You don't chew gum, and when approaching the throne, you stop 20 feet away and you bow. You don't turn your back on them, and you never touch them unless they offer a brief handshake. Well, after King James gave the royal couple gifts, and while posing for pictures, he placed his arm around the Duchess. The British media lost it. They were shocked at what they said was a breach of protocol by James, who was not only touching Kate beyond a handshake, but also that he hadn't taken a shower either. LeBron James apparently broke a major rule while in the presence of royalty. I want you to grab your Bibles and your YouVersion apps, and I want us to take a brief look at a passage of scripture that is just fitting for this occasion. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1. Here we can see the prophet Isaiah is in the temple, and suddenly a vision as if the veil was stripped away. He says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. His robe filled the temple. He is holy and powerful, full of glory, which is brighter than even looking at the sun." See, a proper vision of God reveals a life-altering reality that could radically adjust the trajectory of our lives. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died. See, you have to know who King Uzziah is to understand the impact of his death. King Uzziah had ruled over Judah for 52 years. He was capable, energetic, and a well-organized man with many diverse talents. The Lord blessed him and all of his undertakings so that as he prospered, the people of Judah prospered also. 2 Kings 15:3, it says that he was characterized as one who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Uzziah was a famous military giant commanding an army fit for war, drafted according to census and organized into different divisions. There were 2,600 officers, 307,000 fighting men, well outfitted with weapons such as spears, bows, slingshots, and defensive equipment, including shields, helmets, coats of armor. But after Uzziah's prideful fall and subsequent death, the people of God found themselves in the middle of a crisis. It was in this tragic moment that Isaiah was gripped by a vision of a triumphant king who was always sitting on the throne. In the year that King Uzziah died, he said, "I saw the Lord. He was surrounded by six winged seraphim flying around the throne with two wings. With two wings, they covered their eyes, and with two wings, they covered their feet. They were singing out, 'God is holy and almighty, powerful over all things, and the whole earth is full of his glory.' God is so bright that they had to cover themselves in order to be in his presence. These angels are literally burning with adoration for God. They live and they burn to worship the Holy One. Multitudes of angels surround his throne, all of them flaming with pure, incomprehensible praise. The Bible says that the foundation shook, smoke filled the temple, and God's brilliance blazed as the angels cried out, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Can you imagine what that worship experience was like? Isaiah was filled with dread because he was confronted with the reality which God's people had previously ignored: the sheer holiness and purity of God. Seeing God's holiness, Isaiah also saw his own condition. Against the holiness of God, Isaiah suddenly saw the sum total of his own lifestyle, and he cries, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips." But then God, rich in mercy, moves in Isaiah's direction, much like the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ and the work of the cross. A seraphim took a live coal that was taken from the altar and placed it on the lips of Isaiah. And the angel of the Lord declared to Isaiah, "Your guilt, your shame, and your sin are taken away." He was pronounced holy by the Holy One. Isaiah could now stand unashamed before an holy and righteous king. Why is this so significant? It's significant because of our sin. We are unable to stand in the presence of a holy God apart from being covered and cleansed of all unrighteousness. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Christ was our payment. He covered us in his righteousness and cleanses us by his sacrifice of his life for ours. His death and resurrection and our faith in him makes it possible for us to stand before a holy king and to worship him in spirit and in truth. Isaiah 6:8 says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Isaiah volunteers, and God immediately commissions him for a life of missional work. At the command "go," he would go on to proclaim the goodness of a God who stands behind all of creation, declaring God's word, loving those who are hard to love, standing in the gap for the lost, interceding and praying for their deliverance, their joy, and praying for their peace and their victory. Ultimately, helping them to see a God who wants them to experience his unfailing, undying, unwavering love for them. Isaiah 40:25, God says, "To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him?" says the Holy One. In other words, who is my equal? He declares, "How am I like anyone else?" He says, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. Indeed, there is no one like our God." It is foolish for us to try to compare anyone or anything to our God, for he is totally incomparable. Isaiah stood in the brilliance of God's presence, finally able to see the potential that he had because he had a proper view of who God was. See, as you read and as you see God in this passage of scripture, as holy and almighty, what is your response? Is your response, I'm not that bad. I'm okay. I go to service on Sunday. I bring my tithes to the storehouse. I serve on a serve team. I go to life group. I'm not that bad of a person. Or is your comment like Isaiah? Woe is me, for I am lost. I am broken. I am undone. I am a wretched man. I cannot stand without standing in the love of Christ. It may be you today, and you may be sitting there saying, you know what, Pastor Maurice, my life is in shambles. I am so lost, and I feel cut off from who God is. Well, I want to help you to be able to gain your sight and see God for who he is. Who better to open your eyes than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You can accept him right where you're sitting right now. The Bible says, with mouth confession, with heart belief, that you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your personal Savior, that he died and that he rose with all power in his hand. And right now, he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf constantly. Come on and pray with me. Father, we pray right now for the person who wants to accept you into their heart. Father, I pray that God, as this word has entered into their life and it has challenged them, and maybe they see the sum total of their own life just like Isaiah did. And their proclamation is simple. I am undone. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in their life. Mend the brokenhearted, open the eyes of the blind, give sight, allow them to see that our God is King of Kings, and he is high and he is exalted. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.